Wondering what's next in your business or personal life? Welcome to Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings, a podcast dedicated to helping you with all of life's challenges, discoveries, and opportunities. Whether you're seeking a new career, retirement, or simply wanting to make an impact in your community or the world, join Jen Duplessis and her guests as they explore how to start, what to do when you're in the thick of a change or growth, and how to leave a mark in this world after breaking through your next achievement. You are moments away from the aha you've been seeking.
Well, hello there, and welcome back to Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings. I'm your host, Jen Duplessis, and today with me, I have Deborah Morrison. I'm so excited, Deborah, to have you on the show today. We met on the marketer's cruise and got to chatting, and you know, it's very rare that I run into a woman who has been, who was raised and built her empire in the financial services business as I have. So it's always, I know it's so fun. And I think that's why you and I were so excited about it. So let me tell everybody a little bit about you. You are the Chief Navigational Officer of Women Navigating Finances LLC and the founder of the We Can Do It Women movement, which I'm going to be part of here shortly, and we'll talk about that too. But you retired from a four-decade practice as a financial certified financial planner practitioner, and you're a certified grief coach and an accredited estate planner and a best-selling author of My Husband Died, Now What? A Widower's Guide to Grief Recovery and Smart Financial Decisions and Common Sense Money Guide for Women. So, and you're a TEDx speaker and you've been featured on all kinds of fun stuff. So, and we're just delighted to have you here today. And I think, you know, the theme of what I want to be talking about today is, you know, helping women who are experiencing loss of their husband. Maybe it's a divorce. You know, so often we hear that, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, for us, it doesn't make any sense, right? But for others, it does. And that is that, you know, my husband took care of all my finances. I don't know anything about these words and these acronyms. And I don't know the difference between stocks and options. And there's so much education that needs to be had out there. So again, welcome to the show. Happy to have you.
Thanks, Lady Jen. I'm so pleased to be with you.
Yeah. So hopefully you've been great since the cruise. Everybody I've talked to has come off with not feeling very well, which is not a cruise thing. It's a group thing. It really was a group thing. I think we all were just a mess, but, I want to start with, you know, since this podcast is called Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings, let's talk about a ceiling that you've broken through in your life that leads you to this, the why of what you're doing now in your, you know, in your new business, as opposed to what you were doing in your career. And again, this doesn't have to be the traditional glass ceilings that women talk about. It could be any ceiling that you've gone. So share us a little bit about that story and how you broke through.
Well, thanks, Lady Jenna. It's really amazing that you and I both share decades of experience, as you said, in the financial world. And from a pure financial advisor, certified financial planner, I think I'm one of three women in the United States that have the tenure. And so you can imagine I was the only woman in a double ballroom. Yeah. Several national conventions. So mm-hmm. That kind of typical breaking through, if you will. And ultimately, I was so intrigued about stocks because my grandfather was a stock market investor. So like I got out of college and I wanted to learn about stocks, and no one wanted to put money into a 21-year-old girl about stocks. Yeah. And so they left me off and said, go sell life insurance. I think they thought I'd be out the door in the requisite 6.5 days. And I said, you know, I know a little bit about it, but tell me about this product. And so they did. And I said, holy camoli, this keeps families together, business together. And I led the agency for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I said, boys, I want to learn about investments. And so I did. And so that was a breaking through, if you will. And all of the while, I had this sense of complete financial interweaving of our risk management, Jen, our investments, our insurances, our legal, our tax. I just always thought integratively, and that's unusual. So when I was even selling life insurance, I'd ask people to see their tax return and they would say, no one's ever done that. And so like you and I have probably been, you know, countless times, no one's ever done that. Right. And right. Did that because why, Jen? I wanted to have more truth around the context. Mm-hmm. And see, I think that's an attribute of women. I think that's kind of how we're hardwired. Unlike men who are more content oriented, we're contextual oriented. And so I wanted them to understand how that life insurance policy was going to integrate with their pension at work and with their death benefits that they may have had on a group basis, and then investments, and then tax advantaged investments. And it just continued to escalate.
Yeah. Well, it's a very holistic approach. I think men are more compartmentalized. You know, this is what they do. And so they do it. And then we are, well, this is what we do. But then I wonder if we could do 1,000 other things at the same time. Right? But I also think, you know, the approach that you're talking about is very client-centric. It was something that I did quite a bit in my tenure as well. It's very client-centric. It's not me-centric. It's not, you know, mono, e-mono, you ask for life insurance, I'll sell you life insurance, you know, is very client-centric. So yeah, I love that you're saying a double ballroom, because I used to say I was the token woman in everything that I did, you know, so token woman everywhere. So, okay. So you have this background and you said, you know, look, I can really, you know, grow my business. So when you were in business, did you specifically work with women, or did that come out after you retired?
It's come of age over the decades, actually. Mm-hmm. I worked with generally heterosexual couples, although there were other types of couples and single people, divorced, widowed people. So I had a plethora of a variety of clients. I had 34 clients. It wasn't like I had 600, right? I had 34 clients. I knew them well. And it was completely integrative approach. I mean, they did everything I said. We made tons of money. They lived untethered lives. It just was beautiful, right? And why was it beautiful? It's because the same water level that gets increased when particularly women's confidence around their money goes up, right? Then they start to look at their physicality, and they start to look at their spirituality, and they ground themselves in a way that they hadn't done before, because this kind of, they use the word worry, I don't like that word at all, but this kind of angst that's always on the back of their mind, keep them up at 2 a.m, mm-hmm. is gone. And so that relief dominoes into, hey, what else can we do? Hey, what else can we do? And it began to be a self-fulfilling process that they would, like, they primed the pump. I would prime their pump. What do you want to do, right? And a lot of us, I got the hope, Jen, tamped out of us in the 2007, 2008 Great Recession, right? And then the pandemic, right? And so now you ask people what you want to do, and a lot of people are deer in the headlights. And that is a shame, because this tool called money is to buy whatever it is that we want to have or experience. And that's different than anyone else. Yeah. And so I'm always eager to tease that out. And in essence, when we work together with my clients, and then I was very clear, I mean, the husband and wife would leave the appointment, the wife would go to the bathroom in the hallway, and the husband would say to me, oh, I hope she listens to you. I've been trying to get her interested in money for decades. And so it was that notion that they were very interested in having their partner, their wife in this case, not be suddenly single and clueless. Right.
Yeah.
But in my TEDx talk, I talk about the socialization, Jenna, and you know as well as I do, older women, 60 plus older women, you know, played the arm candy for the most part, because that was a socialization. And they did not find themselves in the power circles. They weren't in the conversations, and they certainly weren't taught. As a matter of fact, it was actually a detriment. Oh, don't talk about money. You know how she got to the top, slept her way. So we have a lot of extra baggage, and that's why.
Yeah.
Now, as
well, and I can see that. I definitely can see that for, you know, for people that are, you know, women that are a little bit older, you know, because they weren't necessarily in the workforce. However, I still see that same mentality. I'm having a hard time thinking of my word right now, what I want to say about this, but the ignorance, right? Or they're not naive. Even today, and I see this with, you know, millennial women, the older millennials, right? I'm seeing that quite frequently with them. And I really think a lot of this has to do whether they've been not trapped, but they got into a marriage, right, early on. And so he just kind of took over that spot, or they lived with mom and dad until they finally exited their home. And now they're on their own and they're still confused, right? So where do you think the issue lies in the lack of education by women who have the means, resources, tools, and have been given the power to go learn about finance? Where do you think that this is lacking? What's holding everybody back?
Well, it's a really great question. And I, in some cases, women have to maybe be twice as good as men to get the position and to retain the position. And certainly there's still gender pay disparity. And so I think there's so much energy is in the quest, Jen, to kind of be on a par with our male counterparts that are equally trained. And so it's kind of like, okay, I got stock options. Who to turn to? How do I exercise them? And ISOs versus non-qualified, which is first, And so I think women maybe get some corporate benefits in the corporate world and they're not even sure the magnitude or how to best utilize or exercise these benefits, if you will, and dovetail them with what they're doing on their own. And of course, if you add, raising kids and having a family, this is a lot of pressure for your time. And so here's the thing. A lot of women, moneyed women included, have gone to their broker for advice, and the broker and the insurance agent are paid a commission, and the more they kill, the more they eat. That's the saying, right? Mm-hmm. And so they've lacked the good answers, Jen, and the good answers are provided by fiduciary planners who don't peddle products, don't receive commission, but just use what's between their ears and all of the continuing ed that's required in all of the areas, tax, investments, risk management, legal, in order to give them advice. And so if a woman has made a poor decision or a couple, now they're set back, and they're not just set back financially, Jen. They're feeling defeated. Like, oh, I messed up. Oh, I can't take another step because I might mess up again. And so there's this whole ambiguity promulgated, I think, by the commission only types of advisors. And
honestly, that goes to women too, because I've seen women who are just like that. They are not fiduciary and they are not client centric. I've seen plenty of women who have acted like that too. I mean, unfortunately. Okay. So, I certainly understand, where that comes from. So one of the things that you talk about is intentional wealth. And I certainly get that. I have a little card here that I have in front of me every day that says intention is everything, right? It's every single thing that we do, intentions and everything. So what are you talking about when you're talking about creating intentional wealth? And I imagine it's similar to the holistic and the fiduciary approach, but I'm sure there's a twist on it. And I can't wait
to hear. Yeah. Well, there is. And some women inherit wealth. I want to make certain if you have inherited wealth that we certainly maintain it, grow it. And yet if you haven't, I want to have women be in the creation of their own wealth and financial wealth in particular. And so I even started in my group program, for goodness sake, a systematic savings program. And women who had never systematically saved before in their life, after 2 years, came back and said, I got $8,000. One woman had $25,000. Now, these were some pandemic checks and whatnot, but nonetheless, this was such a lesson for women to pay themselves first. And I say, who gets paid first, your electric company or you?
Yeah.
Well, the electric company, because it's auto deducted. And so it's this intentionality, to your point, let's raise up whatever is in the subconscious to our conscious, including what we're spending on. I don't care what anyone is spending on. I simply want it to be congruent. And so I call it conscious consumerism with their values, right? And so that when that happens, now a woman doesn't eschew budgeting. She thinks, oh my gosh, I'm behind the driver's wheel of my own car. I can funnel my money where I want. And so if I have my vision board or whatever works for you, that is your why. I mean, this is interesting, but this lies fallow compared to the why behind it. And so once you do that, then you're ready to push the buy now on the Amazon app. And you say, wait a minute, I want that lake house in 4 years more than I want this gadget. Yeah. And so it's that reprogramming our conscious minds.
Yeah, I love that you're talking about the values. You know, it's something I do in my coaching. We talk about those core values first and why we aren't living them and why we don't have boundaries around them. And as you're saying that, one of my core values is stability, right? Stability of time and stability of finance. And I'm Catholic. So during Lent, someone said, what are you giving up? And I said, I really can't give up shopping on Amazon, right? Because that was one thing I was going to say is like, I'm going to give up shopping. And, you know, shopping on Amazon. I'm not going to, you know, during this time, these 40 days of Lent, I'm not going to shop. But then I realized that we actually buy necessities from Amazon too. So I go, oh, that's not going to work. So it was funny. She turned it around for me and she said, you know, why don't you give up impulse shopping? And I was like, that's it. That's the thing.
That's it.
That's the thing, because I will buy on Amazon 4 or 5 times a day, like buy that, buy this. And then I get all these packages. It freaks me out. It freaks my husband out. Instead of just putting them in my cart at the end of the day, going back in and assessing, do I really need this? Does this align with my core values? Is this really going to help my stability? Or is it something, you know, I need or want? And, you know, and then taking some stuff out of the cart, buying it once so it comes in one package and doesn't psychologically create anxiety because it's 50 packages.
Yes.
Right. And so I love what you're saying, you know, about that. It's so important. And I just want to drive that home with my own example, you know, what, you know, it's like buy this, buy that. And, you know, I've gotten stuff in the mail and I'm like, I don't remember buying this. And I can send it back, which is good, but I don't want to get in that habit either, you know, of buyer's remorse. And, you know, it's like an alcoholism, you buy and then you regret and you swear you're never going to drink again because you don't want to throw up in the toilet. So,
but to your point, that whole Amazon thing is really interesting. And about a couple of years ago, I had bought a number of techie things and I just thought to myself, and then I had a number of them and I thought, to myself, Deborah, you don't need it. And I so I like, yeah, I actually tallied them up. I sent back, and I think it was like $425. So I love the idea of putting it in the cart, Jen. Forget at the end of the day. Let's sleep on it. Tomorrow, come back and look at the cart. And then the feeling of empowerment when we take things out of the cart is super.
Yeah. I think that's really key. You know, I think that we, you know, run amok so often and we have random acts of everything. And I think that, you know, what you're saying is just being intentional. And, you know, it's so amazing how people are, you know, often not as good to themselves as they are to their business or they are to other people needing, wanting, whatever. And that's exactly what, you know, definitely what happens here. So, okay. So give me a couple, not a couple. I just need one. Tell us a little bit about one of your clients. I mean, other than just me that I just, and I'm not a client, but I mean, I just gave an example, right? But I'm sure you have an example, you know, and I always love asking this question when I'm interviewing, when I'm doing my one-to-ones is it's important for me to understand. I call it past, future, and present. Tell me about someone you closed business with or that you're working with in the past and tell someone, you know, maybe it's somebody you're about ready to meet and what you think you're going to be able to do for them. Or maybe it's someone you're helping right now, no names, but tell us a little bit about the situation, what you're doing for them and what they hope to gain from working with you.
Oh, as you might imagine, I have a million of those. And it's just, it ends up coming down to people achieving feats they never thought they could. Mm-hmm. And it's that belief in themselves. And then me putting together dovetailed strategies. So what comes to mind, a couple in Florida, very, very religious, a couple love their church and they wanted to, their church was being rebuilt. They wanted to donate a rose window. And they said to me, Deborah, do you think we can donate it? We don't think we can. I said, I think we can. And so we basically sold low basis stock. We created a donor advice fund and we did this dovetail strategy. We converted some traditional Roth IRA, excuse me, to Roth. So generally that encounters a tax. And we offset that with a charitable contribution. And so they had this rose window in their church. And every time they went in the church, which was Sundays and Wednesdays, there's their name.
Yeah.
And then the husband died. And then everybody re-thanked the wife and the widow because this was a beautiful gift out of their hearts. And they could not have done that on their own volition. And so it was actually a zero cost event for them, if you can believe it. And it gave them such joy. Another family took their whole family on a Disney vacation, like 26 of them for a week.
Wow.
And it was amazing. They got this picture with all of them at khaki pants and blue shirts, and it was completely impressive. And the family got to know each other. Imagine that. And so these are the wonderful byproducts of basically being able to channel this money towards something that you have a passion towards achieving and or giving in this case, or experiencing. And they all kind of smush together.
Yeah, I think that's great. For those of you who are listening and not watching, so Deborah keeps handing, when she says this money, she's showing us a plethora of $100 bills, which I can't wait to tell you a story about when we're done recording, because I won't waste our time in recording. But such a cool story about $100 bills in our family. So yeah, I mean, that's a really good example. Okay, so you mentioned a strategy that I want to go after, because you know that I'm part of the Royal Order of Constantine the Great and St. Helen, and we do a lot of charity work, you know, and I have my own charities too. But you talked about a charitable contribution and how to maneuver some cash. Tell us a little bit about that. For someone who's listening, they're going, wait a minute, I heard this charity thing, and so it didn't cost me anything because it's charity. I don't understand. I'm familiar with it, but tell our listener about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, there are a number of avenues, and yet this, a very basic avenue is, if you're going to make a charitable gift, you get a deduction in the amount of the value of the gift. So let's say in this case, this couple was giving, I think it's about $100,000. And so they got a tax deduction for $100,000. Now, I dovetailed taking money across the conversion bridge from their traditional IRA to Roth IRA status, on which they would not have to take required minimum distributions. And for high net worth people, this is a problem when you become age 72 and so forth. Problem. So we basically then said, hey, wait a minute, we would otherwise owe tax on this $100,000 conversion, but we made a $100,000 contribution, but bing, but bang, zero. And so that's one option. The other option that I utilized a lot was charitable remainder unit trusts. You have low basis stock. You can't get at it. You bought Apple when it was nothing, right? Yeah. Good. You have sitting on a bunch of shares. You can't access it without it costing you a lot of money, unless you do a charitable remainder annuity or a unit trust. And then you can give yourself a lifetime income, maybe your kids after you're dead. And it's really snappy. And yet the do-it-yourselfer, you know, you don't have any access to this kind of knowledge. And that's why you want to pay an investment fiduciary advisor, so that they can bring in these beautiful strategies.
I've seen people, you know, when I was in the mortgage business, you know, I saw people say that, you know, I'd ask on the application, do you have any stocks? And they go, nothing to worry about. And I say, okay, well, what do you have? You know, and, oh, I've got like 30 shares of Nike, so I'm just going to sell it. But it becomes a taxable event, you just would have been better to hold on to it. And it's not a lot of money, I get it, but you know, this is what people don't understand, and you know, it allows them to get through. What is your first step for the woman who's listening, the woman who says, I lost my husband, I'm getting all this money, I'm getting everybody asking me to spend money, I'm getting everyone asking me to let me, you know, help you with your money, let me help you manage your money. They're getting inundated with this, or they've, you know, they just got divorced and they got a big lump sum from a refi, which is the craziest thing to do, but because I don't believe in that either, but they, you know, they've got this big lump sum of money and now everybody's after them to put it in stock or put it in here or put it in there. What do you say to that woman? What are the steps that they need to take, other than don't do it and call you? What are some other steps that they need to be looking at? Yes.
Well, you mentioned, and I did write, My Husband Died Now, What a Widow's Guide to Grief Recovery. I grant you that divorcees can be in similar situations. And yet one of the first things is there's a 6-month no decision zone.
Yeah.
You don't decide to move. You don't decide to do anything financial. Six months. You just, everything has to settle. And because intellect and emotion, very interesting, both of them, but not together. So you want to eventually set up an appointment, always complimentary for an hour or so, to interview a fiduciary financial planner. And so there's websites, NAPFA, NAPFA.org is the best one.
The National Association
Garrett,
of Fiduciary.
Of personal financial advisors, yes. And these are people that have a minimum 20 years experience. They're going to do an analysis of what you have and attempt to walk you through some of those grief recovery steps in order that you can shape your next chapter, because there's uncertainty there. There's a lot of fear that accompanies this kind of new scenario on a host of fronts. You're no longer Mrs. and so forth. You have a bunch of money you didn't have before, or you don't have a bunch of money, and now you have to figure out how to bridge those gaps. So always you're going to sit with your emotions, process that and the grief, and then look towards, and I would have at least three conversations with fee-only advisors. And you know, now people are calling them fiduciaries on the one hand, and then on the other hand, they sell a big fat life insurance policy and earn a commission. You need to ask the person that you're intending to hire, if I buy a financial product from you in our relationship, will you earn a commission? If the answer is anything but absolutely not, go to the next person, because there's no time to be clouded with a conflict of interest. No, yeah. You have to know the answers now.
Yeah. And so to be clear, so that people understand what a fiduciary does is, that, you know, again, it's client centric. It's we look at everything. Well, they look at everything that you have, right? Everything that you have, and guide you on what you should and shouldn't do. And then you run back to your stockbroker and sell, or you run back to your stockbroker and buy, or you run back to your life insurance guy and say, hey, I want to stop that insurance and get a different insurance. That's what your role is, to help them see the picture, be that guide for you, be the person who's walking alongside of you to help you make the decisions. And really where your knowledge comes in too, is that when someone throws out a term like an accredited investor, a non-accredited investor, they can come back to you and say, okay, they use those words. What do they mean? How do I, what's the benefit for me doing one or the other? What do you think? And I think, you know, it just becomes your, I mean, I love that you call it navigating. And I didn't ask you, I know we were on a cruise, but I didn't ask you, do you have a boat? Do you boat?
Yes, I do. I do. I have a little pontoon boat.
Oh my God. Oh, wait, did you tell me that? Maybe you did tell me.
Yeah, we were talking about our pontoon boats.
Yeah, because we're both licensed captains. Yeah, my husband and I are as well. And so I love the whole navigation thing. I think it's really cool because it does require navigation. And so often, an analogy, I just want to share an analogy that I shared when I was, you know, in the financial services, was most people will stand on the boat and tell you how to avoid the shark that's coming. I like to get in the water and pull you to shore, because that I know how to get there, you know, and that's right. The difference. Some people will just, and you'll still get bloody and they're still on the boat.
Yeah.
And exactly. That's not, you know, what we do. Okay. So Deborah, I know you've got a couple things coming up. We have quite a few links that we'll be putting in the, in the show notes here. I know you're giving a gift to our people as well, our listeners. So tell us a little bit about the gift.
Well, basically it's a short video with three salient points on how to create the intentional wealth. And right. Upcoming, I have a Bustin' Barriers Summit, Women Bustin' Barriers. And you're going to be one of my wonderful speakers. And this is March 25th and 26th. I am just delighted beyond words to have you join us, Janet. You're going to be a powerful addition to the other nine women. And that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. And we'll make sure that this podcast gets out in enough time for people to put that on their calendar. We'll maneuver it around, you know, and make sure that people do that. And I know that you have, you know, some courses, you have some other things, you know, if someone's interested in working with you, and we'll put all those links in here, but if someone's interested in working with you, what is the best way for them to communicate with you if they want to ask you some questions before taking action on some of the opportunities that you're going to be sharing?
Well, perfect. They can email me at team@wecandoitwomen.com. Go to the website, wecandoitwomen.com, and then the womennavigatingfinances.com website. So they both stand independent and they both have some interesting information and opportunities. Cool. So I welcome anybody's questions, because you got to learn what it is that you're looking to do. And that focus is so important before you take the next and the next step, so that we're really aiming at toward the goal that is workable for you.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. You know, there's a lot of quotes out in the world about money. I'm going to ask you what your favorite quote is about money.
Well, I always reference money as a tool, and yet I have an overarching mission. And this is from a 45-year now financial expert.
Mm-hmm.
Time and health are our best assets.
Yeah.
And I was asked on CNN across from Stuart Varney, Deborah, what's your best asset? And I was trying to think, and I literally said to God, give me an answer because, you know, what do you say? And I said to Stuart, I have two assets in life, time and health. I don't want to waste either one of them. And I had clients with groups of zeros. And when they lost their health, they were willing to spend all of it to get it back. And so I encourage us to not do that pursuit of a greenback at the expense of our health. And time you can never get back. No one said on their death benefit, I wish I would have beaten the Standard and Poor more quarters.
I know.
No.
I know. Yeah. So the quote that I know that's like this is we sacrifice our health to create wealth. And later we sacrifice our wealth to create health.
Precisely. Yeah. So let's not do that, women. Let's be really smart.
Yeah. Let's not just be constantly chasing all of that. I absolutely love it. Deborah, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. And, you know, I just want to say that I love what you're doing for women. I love what you're doing for families too, because I know you help everybody, but I love what you're specifically doing for women, because there are people that, you know, work for me that I'm just floored at what? I don't get it, you know? And, yeah, it's just a really sad state that we're in this economy, and especially with inflation, it's getting worse. So love what you're doing. Love that you're creating all of this. And I want to say to my listeners here, listen, if you have the opportunity to listen in on women busting barriers, you're going to learn so much more than what you can learn in just a few minutes that we have here. You're going to hear from a lot of different people. And I know you'll probably be making a special offer for everything that everyone's working with you on. So We'll be excited to hear that too. So any final parting words you'd like to leave us?
No, I'm grateful for the opportunity. And my message is, we can do it, women. Followed quickly by, we are doing it, women. So let's give ourselves credit where credit is due. And then let's shore up wherever we need shoring up, because we've got it all. You don't need to be a mathematician. You need to believe. And if you don't believe, come on ahead, because I believe you can do it. Yeah. And you will soon too.
Beautiful. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lady Jen. So much of my pleasure.
Absolutely. So again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to listen into Success to Significance. Don't forget to click on the button below and subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. And again, we have all kinds of links at the bottom for Deborah. So reach out to her, make sure that you get your questions answered, and pay this forward. Maybe you're a man and you're listening to this and you know of a woman who needs Deborah. Please pay this forward. This is for her. What a great gift that you could give us. So with that, we'll catch you next time on the next episode.
You've been listening to Success to Significance with Jen Duplessis, the number one podcast for people wanting to give more value and make an impact. Loved this episode? Be sure to subscribe right now at www.jenduplessis.com/S2S for more stories, strategies, and thoughts to help you gain significance and success. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Join us next week for another breakthrough episode. Thank you for listening.